With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Hello and welcome to The Best in the World with Richard Parr. Now, you may have heard a few of my interviews before and had a few troubles pronouncing some of the Dutch names in particular. I also made a bit of a mix-up with Natalie Coughlin, the former American swimmer. And this week I was very confident with my guests and I thought I've pronounced their last name magnificently, Gago. And then it was right at the end of the interview with this guest that they pronounced their first name, and I just couldn't believe it. It's Denis Gago. So Denis, D-E-N-I-S. And of course, if you listen to the podcast, you listen to the interview, I call him Dennis. Denis Gago. And okay, yes, from an English point of view, that's how we'd see the name, that's how we'd say the name. But I've always felt that you should say to someone how their name is pronounced, the way they pronounce it. And so I'm pretty disappointed, pretty annoyed about that. And Denny is clearly an absolute legend and doesn't comment on it, doesn't mention anything. And I really appreciate that. So if you're listening to this, thank you very much for that. That's very kind of you. And thank you for being on the podcast as well. We've really learned a lot from you on this week's Best in the World with Richard Parr. Coming up, Denny talks about not only being a canoe slalomist, but also an entrepreneur. He talks about his Mule Bar Energy Bar brand. And he explains how his knowledge as a sports star has helped him in his business and also how he manages his time. The 2016 Canoe Slalom Olympic champion also talks about his disappointment at not competing at the 2012 London Games, despite being the 2011 world champion. And he also talks about his idols. In particular, he'll explain why the former France and Manchester United forward Eric Cantona is one of his heroes. All of that plus much more on this week's Best in the World with Denis Gago, the 2016 Olympic gold medalist in canoe slalom. Just before we get to that interview, I want to remind you that we're now on Patreon, patreon.com/bestintheworld. It's a crowdfunding page where you can continue to support our podcast so we can get a little bit better every single week. And all we're asking for is a contribution for as little as $1 a month. That works out at about 25 cents an episode. This podcast is for free. You can listen to it for free. But if you would like to thank us in a tiny, small way, you can do that from as little as $1 a month. That's 25 cents an episode. Go and check us out at patreon.com/bestintheworld. And even if you don't want to contribute, if you want to just tell other people about this podcast or about our Patreon page, I would really appreciate that as well. All right, let's get to the interview. Let's speak to the Olympic canoe slalom gold medalist, Denis Gago.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Denis Gago, welcome to The Best in the World with Richard Parr, the Olympic champion canoe slalomist from the 2016 Rio Games. It's been about a year since then, Denis. So has your life changed?
Yes, my life changed pretty much the minute after I won this gold medal, and now I can still feel the changes in my life with my family and also with all the person that know me very well. They can see that I'm still the same guy, but a lot of new things happened to me since.
Yeah, describe some of those new things and describe some of those changes, because you're in that small group of people who know that difference of not being an Olympic champion to being an Olympic champion.
It's a day-to-day things to live, and it's hard to describe, but I think the look of the people that has changed, but I try to make everyone comfortable with who I am. And when I'm with people, I try to be the same as I used to be, as much as I can. But there is most of the things that has changed is the little thing that people offer me. For example, I just heard today that I will be able and invited to flight with La Patrouille de France. La Patrouille de France is the military flight that are making demonstration for the National Days.
Oh,
You know,
wow.
so it's called an Alpha Jet. So it's a military jet with a lot of horses power in the engine, and it will be a great opportunity. That maybe two or three civilian people had the chance to do in France. So it's just amazing opportunity that this medal gave me, and I have some other story to tell, but right now I can't remember. This is the most hot topic at the moment.
Fantastic. Well, I look forward to seeing some pictures of that on social media and on Instagram, because I reckon that'll be a pretty amazing thing to have done.
Well, we try to cover it.
Yeah, spectacular. So what about, because you're back competing now, do you
Yes.
feel differently? Is there like an added sense of confidence that you have going into competition now?
Well, yes, I'm back competing. I've been racing four races since the Olympics. So first was a small race in Slovenia to prepare the European Championship that was in the same course, same city. Was not a big success because I was trying a boat, a new boat, new shape, and it was not perfect, so I switch. Then I had the French Championship where I started quite wrong, I have to say, and then I improved and I finished on second place, so vice French champion this year, which is okay, honestly, given the fact that I start training quite late in the season. And then I raced the European Championship where I've been at the 13th place, missing the final, and I have just finished a World Cup in Germany where I've been 13, also missing the final. So I kind of struggle to find my way of racing. I'm doing a sport that is pretty complex to understand how to win, and it's never the same way. So my job is to question myself all the time, and I am now in a position where I'm questioning what I've done, what I have to do to be back on the podium, and first in be back in the fi into final, and then hopefully on the podium.
Trying to do that every day, Dennis, that must be emotionally and mentally exhausting.
No, I think it's a way of life. So, and I think it's very healthy to question everything you do in life. So for me, it's more a lifestyle thing than a sports thing. I'm questioning everything that I do. So if it works, okay, I'm good with it and I'm trying to do the same. But if the same doesn't work, then I have to innovate and improve.
And that's what we found by speaking to all of you great Olympic champions and world champions, that the ones which reach the top level like you are innovators, are real game changers. Let's simplify things down a little bit though. Now, Dennis, why don't you just give us an idea of how you first got interested in the sport and how you started as a canoe slalomist?
Okay, so first I was a soccer player, football.
What was your position?
Attack on the right, or more like Zidane, you know, number 10, or Cantona, you know Cantona, number 7.
Eric Cantona, yeah. As long as you weren't attacking anyone in the crowd.
Yeah. No, but he's one of my idols. So because we are from the same city, he's a funny guy and a good player. So first I was playing soccer and then my cousin take me on holidays with my uncle and aunt. And he was in the French team of canoe slalom, junior team, I think. And he say, you can stop this bullshit game and try to do a real sport, you know. And he took me on the water. And since that moment, I never stopped paddling because I just fell in love with this sport, the feeling you have with the water and the glide you can produce with your paddle, and it's just amazing.
Did you just completely give up football kind of there and then, or did that slowly fade away?
No, it slowly fell away. And I'm still playing. I'm still enjoying playing, but not in a team, more just with the friends sometimes.
Do you ever get concerned about injuries when you play other sports, or do you just not think about it, thinking, oh, I could get injured doing canoe slalom anywhere, it's just the risk that you take?
No, we are concerned. For example, I love to ski also, and I have that in mind, that if I fall too hard, I can break something or, twist something, and it's just not good for the season. So I'm trying to be as prudent as I can. But it's sometimes difficult because as many athletes, I'm quite an adrenaline junkie. And it's sometimes hard to be quiet.
What's the scariest thing you've done then, Dennis?
Oh, nothing very scary. I'm not life. How can I say? I don't like sports or challenges that can, take your life. So I'm not looking for that. That much dangerous sports. I'm trying to be. Well, I'm a father, so yeah. I want to see my daughter grow.
Yeah, exactly. So no cliff diving for you anytime soon.
No cliff diving. No big waterfall diving. Also, I don't like that.
But your sport is a dangerous sport, though.
Well, not very much.
No.
No, we are not practicing, you know, the basic of our sport was in rivers, and it could be dangerous on river because you can, if you do a capsize, you can hit your head on a rock, or if you are swimming, if you go out of your boat, you can be stuck between two rocks, and the power of the stream will force you to drown. So it's not good. It can be dangerous, but the sport that I do is more an Olympic sport with a lot of rules and in a wider artificial stadium, which is made for security, basically. So, so today we are practicing with a PFD and a helmet, but we could do without it because we have no risk doing that in this stadium.
Okay, and have you had any injuries throughout your career? Any major injuries?
Quite a few, but the major one was I broke two times a lumbaris, number five.
Oh wow! Oh
yeah, but now it's broken, so it's okay. I had first broke the right part, very 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 painful and very problematic. But then, because only the right part was broken, I had trouble to on the left side because it was not symmetric. So a few years after, the left side broke, and now I'm feeling much better. Two times. Very painful, but now I'm okay.
So you're talking about your back here, right, Dennis?
Yeah, my back. Yeah.
Oh my goodness! And then you still went on to become an Olympic champion. That's incredible.
Yeah, actually, it's not really a problem while I'm young, but I will maybe need a surgery when I will be older. Mm.
Did you have to adjust your training a lot after these injuries?
Yes, yeah, I had a big recovery time and a big training to reinforce my back muscle to maintain the colon, the bones.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Together.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
We'll be back with Denny in just a moment, but I want to tell you about Audible. Audible's one of the leading suppliers of audiobooks in the world. They've got over 180,000 titles for you to choose from. It's a product that I personally use, and I think you should too. And guess what? With Audible, you can do it for free for 30 days. Yes, you can get a free 30-day trial, and that includes one free audiobook download. All you've got to do is go to audibletrial.com/best. That's audibletrial.com/best. And there you can download one audiobook for free. And as I said, it is a product I personally use. And I've most recently been listening to the autobiography by Andres Iniesta. Yes, the Spain and Barcelona captain. And it is called The Artist Being Iniesta, a really, really good book that I've been listening to on Audible. And you can do the same just by going to audibletrial.com/best. Go and check it out. All right, let's return to my conversation with the Olympic canoe slalom gold medalist, Denis Gargaud.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Give us an idea then, Dennis, of what is a typical training day for you like? What time are you getting up? What are some of the things that you're eating? How long are you training? Just give us an insight into that, please.
Yeah, with pleasure. This is quite particular for me because I'm also an entrepreneur, so I have a business to run. And it's part of my daily routine. So I'll say that I'm waking up every day at between 7 and 7:30, depending my child waking me up because she's angry. So then we just enjoying family time together. My wife is bringing our daughter to school and preparing to go to the training. So I will have before a breakfast. After that, I'm going to the training in Marseille, in my hometown. Mm-hmm. So normally I like to go in the morning because the water is quite calm and there is no wind because it's a very windy place. So I'm training for about 45 minutes, 1 hour, depending on the training session. And then I'm taking my bike and I'm going to work. So I have offices in the center of the town, the city, and I'm staying there until lunch. For lunch, sometimes I can go back to the training or just have a quick lunch and go back to the work. And after that, I will have a second training around 4:30 or 5 o'clock for about 1 hour again. And then I'm going back to home about 6:30, 7 p.m.
Sounds like a pretty long day. Tell us a little bit about your company then. What you're doing as an entrepreneur then, Dennis?
Yeah, I'm the owner of the very happy owner of New Bar Energy Bar brand. It's a British brand, actually founded by Jimmy and Alex, two guys that love downhill bike.
Yep.
I'm not sure if you know these sports. And we and my business partner, we bought the brand in 2015. So now we are the owner and we are making energy gels and energy bars. All our products are natural. Most of it are organic, vegan for some, and they are all vegetarian approved.
And is it something that you use when you're training as well? Is it something that you're eating throughout the day?
Yes, I'm using a lot of energy gel mixed with water during the race day, and I'm using also energy bars during my daily routine. One like just when I'm hungry, a snack before I go training, or if I'm missing a lunch, I can have two bars or a protein bar and bar. I'm using it and it's very good product. I give that to my child.
Oh, fantastic. Are you seeing any of your rivals and competitors starting to use it? Perhaps seeing you use it and seeing that you're an Olympic champion and going, oh, if it works for Dennis, maybe I should be trying this as well.
Well, maybe, or, you know, in my sport, we are quite friends with the competitors. So you know, the biggest competitor is the water. Most of the time, the water is against you, so you have to fight for to win. So, you know, I can speak with my opponent with no problem. So we in France, when you are racing into a World Cup or World Championships, you have athletes area and country area. So for them, the athlete can change, can look the video, talk with the coach, have rest, see the physio. So we have spaces for a country, and in the French country area, there is always Mubar, and I'm supplying the French team, of course.
Oh, fantastic. I like it. Making sure that they're having your stuff. I mentioned there about people kind of looking at you as an example. Who were some of the people that you looked up to? Who were some of your mentors?
Well, I didn't have kind of mentors, but I like to call them influential person in my life. I wouldn't say mentors. I have a few, actually, because I try to inspire many people as I can, and I'm lucky to meet great people. I would mention my father first, because he's a brilliant guy. He's just very clever, very very intelligent, and he took good care of us, me and my brother, with my mother also. And he's someone inspiring. I also have the president of my club, which was my first coach in canoe slalom, and he's also very inspiring. And he has counted in my life. And then I have a few other names, like Miriam Jerusalemi, who is a woman from my club. She won several times the world champion titles, and she was bronze medalist in Atlanta, 1996. And so far, I also have a business mentor, like you could say, a guy called Guy, who founded, a digital service company. Mm. And he's also a very clever guy, very smart, very business dedicated, and he's really inspiring for me.
Was that something that you specifically looked for as an entrepreneur? Were you specifically looking for a mentor because that's what you've always done in sport?
No. I never looked for. It just came out when I meet him, and when I met him and we talk, we became friends. He sponsored me and he's still sponsoring me for my athlete career. And he's just, you know, I knew him before I was, before I start my company. So when I founded my company and I bought Mubar, I spoke with him a lot about many subjects, and it was just inspiring.
Mm, fantastic. So let's talk again about your career as a canoe slalomist, and obviously you were very successful at the Rio Games, but you were also a world champion back in 2001 and C1 and C2, also a champion in
2011,
that's what I meant.
Yeah,
you'd been very young if you won in 2001. In 2011 and also in 2010 you
you were a world champion, but you didn't get to compete at the 2012 Olympics. How frustrating was that for you?
Well, this one was a real frustration because, in my sport, only one person per class and per country can compete at the Olympics. So we have a very tough competition for the trials at home. So, unfortunately for me, or fortunately, it's actually both ways. I used to compete against Tony Estanguet, which is now the head of the Paris 2024 bid. And he won three times the Olympic. And the last time was in London. I won the World Championship in 2011. So the year before the games in London, and I was number one in the world ranking, and Tony was number two, and for the record, he was world champion in 2010, the year before. So it was a hard fight, and he won the selection, the trials for the Olympic trials for France. So he get the right to compete in London, and I didn't. And actually, it was good for him because he won the gold medal. And now that I look back, I'm happy because I succeed to wait four more years and win this gold medal that I was hoping for 2012. So it's a good story, but it was hard to live with that, during the games in London.
Did it make you stronger in many ways, or was it actually going to do the opposite? Had you ever considered even quitting?
I considered quitting because, but that was not for my failure in sport. Actually, it was more because a history with my former partner in C2, so in a canoe double, and with my ex-coach, that we really had a bad year together. Bad mood, bad energy together. And I can endure the loss on a race, the defeat. I can be okay with, any bad thing that the sport can bring. But when I think sport, I think a race, a clock, a judge, but not human feelings and, human relationships that are going bad because of the sport. And I didn't like that. So it was really hard for me to accept that the sport brought me those feelings. And it was a hard day during the selection in France with my team, actually. And I just wanted to protect myself, and then I given up for quite a few times the sport, and then I came back. But during this time, I was questioning myself: does the sport is that bad that can break relationship with two friends or a coach and an athlete? And I just thought finally that we was not meant to be together, like friends.
Are there any other things that you've learned in your time as a canoe slalomist that you've been able to incorporate into being an entrepreneur?
Every day. I'm learning every day, every situation. I would say that a lot of people think that because I am a a good entrepreneur because I'm a good sportsman, and good athlete, has a lot of energy. But actually, I don't think that is the main things that make me an entrepreneur. It's not the energy. It's the long-term plan. A career in sport starts when you decide to train for a dream, and it's a long way to go. When I used to dream of being an Olympic champion or a world champion, I was 12, and I became world champion at 24. So it's a long way to go.
Mm.
And I think when you start a business, you don't want to win a million in the first year. Doesn't work like that, and it's really hard to do. You want your business to be alive in 20 years or in 50 years. And I think this long-term plan vision is my best quality being an entrepreneur. And this I learned making sport.
Is this something you've done with goal setting? Are you someone who sits down and starts a plan 10 years, 5 years, 1 year, 1 month, 1 day in both sports and being an entrepreneur? Are you someone even who might even write their goals daily? And how do you work with that? What is your process?
Well, first of all, if you have a dream, you're dreaming of it every day. So it's a daily motivation, I would say. But if you're thinking more straight and more reasonably, you have to make a plan, because it's not, you know, the Olympics are not a dream. It's a fact. It's happening, and you have a race with a time to go to the start, and you have to down the river, don't touch any gate, and be the quickest you can. And this is factual. You can hide it. Hide behind a dream. I'm not sure if I'm clear.
Mm.
So you have to make a plan. So you have to train. You have to innovate. You have to have the best boat, the best motor you can have. You have to have the best coach you can have. And this doesn't happen like that. You have to work for it. You have to fight for it with the federation. You have to negotiate sometimes, and it's actually quite a business to do. And but yes, to answer the question, I would say that I'm thinking to my goals every day a little bit, but I have a plan mostly for 4 years for the Olympics.
Okay. And you mentioned there sometimes you've got to fight. Have you always been a fighter? Is that something that comes natural to you?
Yeah, I'm a fighter. I'm a fighter, definitely, but not with people.
Mm.
I don't like to fight with people. Okay. I'm more a nice person who wants to be nice with the other, and I like when people are nice to me, so I don't want to fight. But I'm a fighter with things. When things are not as I like they are, I can fight for it.
Fight to make change. Well, Dennis, it's been so good to hear your thoughts on everything on today's Best in the World. Just before you go, Dennis, why don't you let us know where we can find out more about you, and also where we can find more about your energy gels and everything to do with your company as well, please, Dennis.
Yeah, well, I have a website, and so it's www.denisgargaud.com, and I also have a website for my brand, which is www.mulebar.com. It's like the mule.
Wonderful.
And you can find anything on this website and also on social networks, of course.
Brilliant. Well, it's been so good to speak to you. So good to learn everything that has been going throughout your career as a sportsman and now as an entrepreneur as well. Dennis Gargo, thank you for being on the program and thank you for being the best in the world.
Thanks for the chat.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Great stuff there from Denny. And if you are a fan of canoeing, then you might want to go back and listen to some of my other interviews with people from that sport. Maybe listen to my conversation with David Florence or with Etienne Stott, or perhaps one of my favourite interviews on this whole podcast, Joe Jacoby. You can listen back to all of them at acast.com/best or at sportacino.com. Or if you're listening to it on iTunes, you can listen to it there. And if you haven't already, please give us a rating and review on iTunes. I'd really appreciate that. And if you aren't subscribed already, please click that subscribe button. If you've got any questions about the podcast or would just like to say hello, I'm on Twitter at Richard_Parr. And if you haven't contributed to our program already and you would like to, please check us out on Patreon, the crowdfunding website. We're patreon.com/best in the world. All right, I'll have another amazing sports star, a world record holder, a world champion, an Olympic champion, a world number one on this program next week. You do not want to miss it. But until then, I hope you have a wonderful week. Goodbye.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.